Yeah, that's definitely how that song is meant to be sung. I mean that's one of those proclamation type songs. And if you just mumble, humble, you know, your way through, you've done that song, and really I think you've done God an injustice. That's the way for it to be sung. And I really appreciate everyone when truly singing out on that song. This morning, we're going to be turning and doing quite a bit of reading, so get your Bibles out. You know, start moving those pages, warm them up a little bit, get your hands warm. You know, it's cold outside. But we're going to talk about why do we need each other? Part of my studies this past week, I was just reading through, and I actually come to this passage. And I was reading this passage for the first point, Exodus 17. And it got me just thinking, you know, just a basic, simple lesson. But the idea of the need for one another, and I think, you know, it's very evident, maybe even what may happen in this next few months or something, if we do have another major COVID shutdown or whatever, but of needing one another. But this is the passage I'd run up on, and it got my attention on it. Exodus 17, 8 through 16 says, "And Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, 'Choose us some men and go out, fight with Amalek. And tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand.' So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven.' And Moses built an altar and called its name, 'The Lord is my banner.' For he said, 'Because the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation.'" So, like I said, this is the passage that the lesson really stemmed from. Because I was thinking, you know, here's Moses. And Moses could not do it on his own. All right? You know, he's there. As long as he would hold the rod up, he would lift it there. You know, Israel was prevailing, but he got tired, you know, and his hands were heavy, and he would take and he would start to let it down, and you would see that Amalek would start to prevail. And so others that were there with him helped him keep that rod up. They brought him a stone and put under him to sit on, and then one guy on each side, and they held his hands up with him. You know, and that's like I said, where the whole lesson come from. And the first point is, you know, why do we need each other? Sometimes we get tired. You know, that's just how it is. I mean, each one of us individually can get tired. We can get tired of whatever it is. You know, get tired of trying to fight that good fight of faith. Get tired of seem like every time that you're working hard, you get knocked back down. Maybe it's getting tired of trying to teach those that don't want to be taught. Maybe you get tired of trying to encourage family members that are just not being who they're supposed to be. You know, it could be a million things, you know, when it comes to we get tired. But that's why we need each other. Because just like here, Moses' hand got tired. Those that were with him supported him. They took care of him. They lifted him up. They did what was needed for that situation. The same has to be true for us. You know, we need to understand that we're each going to get tired, and we're going to need encouragement. We're going to need uplifting. We're going to need those extra hands. But we also need to understand that others get tired, and they need those extra hands. They need that support. They need that lifting up. So, yeah, why do we need each other? Yeah, just simply sometimes we get tired. And on our own, we get to the point of being so tired for so long, we want to quit. I mean, think about it. You know, if Moses would have been here by himself, you know, and he's trying to hold that up, after the end of the day, I mean, he's probably all he can do to even hang on to the rod, keep it in his grasp. You know, and if without these others, He probably would have let it all the way down. He wouldn't have been able to hold it up. So yeah, why do we need each other? Because sometimes we just get tired. Another point that I wanted to make in this is it's real easy for us to get to thinking individualistic. You know, the ideal of I'm the only one. I'm fighting this, or I'm the only one that deals with that, or I'm the only one thinking this way. But, you know, we are a piece of the whole. So why do we need each other? Because I'm just one piece of the whole. You're one piece of the whole. So, you know, we need all the pieces of the whole. And then this is a passage I know most of you know quite well. But 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about the body and the pieces of the body and how each one of us would take, you know, the job of a piece of the body. And together we can do the work properly. But without someone, we got some missing parts here. But 1 Corinthians 12, let's read 12 through 27. 1 Corinthians 12, beginning at 12, says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greek, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? Now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? And now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism or division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually." All right, so you know, I got a picture here of like a single puzzle piece. And sometimes we get it in our mind. You know, I'm going through this, or I've got to deal with that, or I'm the only one facing that. And that's not the case. You know, and this whole passage that Paul's writing to Corinth, Corinth had a major issue with divisions. All right, that's one of the problems they had. And, you know, if we get to talking about Corinth, you know, and the life of Christians in that city, maybe this will make a little better sense to you as well. But, excuse me, it's got the driest air up here. I'm already just sweating in this jacket. But they're already having great division, and there's a lot of fault and a lot of sins and a lot of problems within the body at Corinth that stems from this division, the strife and the quarreling and the problems. And that's because there's these little groups that think of themselves solely. They're not thinking, okay, I need that other group. That other group needs me. Together we can do the work of the Lord properly. So when we think about why do we need each other, I'm only a piece of the whole, but I need all the other pieces to do it properly. You know, I cannot take and spread the message of God on my own. I cannot be the church on my own. Thank you, Seth. I appreciate it. You know, we've got to have each other. You know, so I need you. You need me. Just like I needed this water brought up here. Up here in, you know, dry as the desert territory, you know, we got to have each other, you know. And I mean, Carlton made a point when he was here one time that that even as a preacher, that there's different kinds of preachers, and I truly see this. There are preachers that are really good at going out. They go out and they give that message initially. There's preachers that just excel at that. There's preachers that do well sort of with that initial confrontation. But a lot of times those preachers are not good at sitting down one-on-one and discussing and teaching and working with those that have obeyed the gospel. And then there's those preachers that are really good at that. They're good at teaching. They're good at Bible classes. They're good at one-on-one teaching. You know, and that just makes the point that, you know, you need to look at yourself and say, what am I good at? You know, how can I help the most when it comes to spreading the gospel? Are you one of those that it's easy for you to talk to people and easy for you to point out something and bring up a discussion? Or maybe you're one of those that are just really good at teaching and instructing. You know, whatever the case may be, you know, use what the Lord has given you. And that's the whole point of Paul talking about the individual body parts. You know, God made you. That's the point. He made the body, he made the part, and he made it all to work together. So he made you. He made you what you are. Take and look within yourself and say, what did God make me to do? And then make sure you're doing it. You know, work at that. Work hard at that. Do your part. Be that useful part of the body. You know, because, yeah, you know, somebody else is dependent on you. I'm dependent on y'all for different things. You're depending on me for different things. We've got to have each other. And that leads me to my next point. We need each other to fulfill our commitment, because there's commitments that we have made. There's commitments to God that we have made. There's commitments we have made to one another when we obey the gospel. I need you here. I need brothers and sisters in Christ just to fulfill my commitments that I've agreed to when I obeyed the gospel. Let's go to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10 and 25 is a verse that's always sort of jumped on, the idea of people that don't attend like they're supposed to. They don't come together as they're supposed to. You know, the idea of forsaking the assembling of themselves. But the verses leading up to that let you understand why that's such a bad deal. All right, verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So there's the idea that I obeyed the gospel. All right, I understood the truth. I came. I obeyed the gospel. My sins were removed. Now what? Okay. 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope. Like, why do we do it? Without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. And then we could read right on. 26 talks about, for if we sin willfully, as in if, you know, if we're forsaking the assembling, we're sinning willfully. We're purposefully sinning. Why? Because we're not fulfilling our commitments. You know, that's one thing that I think too many overlook here. The idea of, okay, you know, I didn't come and whatever. But we have made a commitment. We've made a commitment to God that we're going to live the life we're going to live in his, you know, example. But we've also made a commitment to worship him. If we're not coming when we're supposed to, we're not worshiping him. We're let down on that commitment. But the idea of considering one another, being here for one another, if you're forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, you are not fulfilling your commitment to every brother and sister in Christ you've got. You are failing them. The problem is, if we don't have brothers and sisters in Christ, we cannot fulfill our commitment. So if we've got those that are not coming to services, then you're not letting us fulfill our commitment because you're not fulfilling your commitment. It's a vicious cycle now, isn't it? That's why we need one another. And if you continue to read right on down, the scary part about this is the idea of us taking and sinning willfully by not doing what we're supposed to do. And that's why he says, let us consider, let us draw near. We need to understand what we've committed to, and we need to get better at that. Because if we get all the way down to verse 30, for we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So, you know, the Hebrew writer is just making it very clear that you need one another. And you've made commitments. And you need to make sure you're there for one another. So not only do I need to attend to make sure I'm doing my part, But I need to be there so others can do their part. Like the singing we just had. I mean, that alone, you know, you need to be here to sing to others. Those songs of admonition, those songs of encouragement, those songs of strengthening one another. But not only are you here to sing out to others, but you're also here to listen for others singing to you. You ever thought of it that way? Because you need the encouragement, you need the admonition, and you need to be giving it to them. Got to fulfill our commitments. Commitments to God, commitments to one another in particular. That's why we need each other. And together we serve the Lord properly as that one body. Another thing, you know, that goes right along this idea of the commitments and for one another, we need one another to share with. To share with. And this is share anything with. But we need one another for that. I got two verses on the screen. Feel free to turn to those as well. But Romans 12 and verse 15. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. And then Galatians 6, 2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So we definitely could think that the ideal of sharing one another's burdens, weep when others are weeping, you know, the ideal of sharing when we're needing something. You know, but notice there's also the side of rejoicing for others when they rejoice. You know, do we take, and when something good happens in someone else's life, do we show them that we are happy for them? Do we encourage them and strengthen them when everything's going good? Or is it only, okay, I'm here for a shoulder to cry on because, you know, I know something bad just happened. Or in a lot of cases, you know, when something bad's happened to us is when we want the attention. But we're not so much, you know, giving the attention to others. You know, think of it that way. We need each other to share with. I need to be here for you to share your happiness and your sadness with me. And you need to be there for me so I can share my sadness and my happiness with you. But without each other, who are you going to share with? You know, happiness is only going to run so long if all you are is happy for yourself. You know, I mean, that's just it. Think of it this way as well. In your darkest times, if you're looking to encourage others in their better times, your worst times won't be as bad. Because the goodness that's going on with others will actually pull you out of the worst times in your life. But without each other, you don't have that. It's a way out. You know, we all understand in our life that bad has to come. It's going to happen. It will come around. But you cannot ever truly enjoy the good without the bad. You know, I mean, you can't. I mean, we all understand that. But, you know, one individual can only take so much bad before they just want to give up too. But, you know, if you're dealing with a lot, you know, at a particular moment, seeing the good in others and for others and by others will help you out of the worst spots yourself. I know that might be hard to wrap your head around, but it's the ideal of sharing. Sharing your own burdens, sharing in the good that others. It creates a balance, you know, because, you know, maybe this month you're on the side of the needy, you know, I'm needing, I'm hurting, I'm weary, I'm burdened. Share that with someone, you know, and then next month it might be them needing your shoulder, you know, or maybe you're sort of in a bad spot thinking things are going rough, but then you see the good things happening in your brother or sister's life, and that builds you up. No, see, God is in control. Things are still working out for right. I'm just in a little rough patch, but we can get through it together. But you got to have each other to share that with, you know. And that's the ideal of what Solomon is talking about in our next point. The ideal of needing one another so that we're stronger together. Ecclesiastes 4. Ecclesiastes 4, verses 9 through 12. Let me get another little drink before we start reading. All right, Ecclesiastes 4, beginning at verse 9. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though only one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. So here, you know, Solomon is getting the point across that we can never stand on our own. I mean, that's really the point that's coming across here. The ideal of I'm a loner and I'll do my own thing, that's just falsehood. We're not loners. God did not make us to be loners. Think back to creation. Well, what did he say about man? Think about that in your head. What did he say about man? He created man. And then like the next statement about it, it is not good for man to be alone. I mean, think about that. You know, and he created woman because, yeah, definitely us fellas were missing out on some things that the women take care of, emotional things, different things, you know. Just keep us running, you know, life going. But not only just that, we need each other. We are very weak. We are very easily discouraged. We give up on our own. You know, we've got to have each other. You know, we just need one another. It's to be stronger. You know, why do we need each other? To be stronger. We're better together. I mean, that's just how it is. And I mean, you know, that's how a good, strong congregation is. If everyone is working together to better the group as a whole, you better me, I better you, we better each other, we're better together. We're stronger together. Another point, some of these overlap, I know they do, but why do we need each other? Because the task is too big, again, for one of us. You know, if we just take one of us on our own, that single cord that's easily broken, why? Because the task is too big. If you put one cord trying to pull a couple tons, it will snap. I've watched that, you know, Evan come over here and he cut some trees down yesterday and I just drove a truck all day long hauling stuff for him. But we had a fella come cut some big trees on a property once for us. And they had one rope, and it was a good rope. But he had one rope tied to a big tree, and it was about 4 foot across. And they were pulling it with the truck. And you could hear something after they started putting the tension on it. And then you could start seeing a little sizzle of smoke on it, on that rope, right out in the middle of the rope, just a little sizzle of smoke. And then it just snapped. It burned itself in two from the pressure. You know, you think, okay, it would break up against the tree or break off the truck. But in the middle, just right out in the middle, it had been pulled so tight that it created so much heat that it just burned itself in two. Well, that's sort of how it would be with us trying to get to heaven just on our own. The task is too big to deal with everything in this world on our own. It's a big job to get to heaven. It's a lot of obstacles to get to heaven. And we've got to have each other if any of us is going to make it there. Ephesians 4, get a little lengthy reading here, 1 through 16. Ephesians 4, beginning at verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended. What does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measuring of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplieth, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Notice how Paul starts this. A prisoner of the Lord. Prisoner of the Lord. Paul, in a lot of these letters, is in jail. Paul knows that he cannot do it on his own in jail. He mentions this in quite a few letters. You know, greet so-and-so. You know, they were a big help to me. They brought this, or they stayed by me, or they didn't depart from me. Or, you know, Timothy, bring this when you come to see me. You know, all of these things, he knew he needed others. Why? Because the task is too big. Not only that, he needs, even in jail, he needs to reach out to these different groups because they need him. Why? Because the task is too big. They need the encouragement. They need the strength. They need to know that even though he's a prisoner, he is still fighting strong, and he's got faith in them that they'll fight strong. But then he goes all through every bit that we've been looking at in this lesson, and he's talking about each one of us needing each other. Why? Because we need to do the work that God's given us. We can't do it on our own. Every single part needs to do the work that they've got. Why? To create a perfect man, each one of us. You know, each one of us, if we're going to be what God expects us to be, it's going to be because others have helped us be that. The teaching, the instruction, the encouragement, the being there for one another. We have to have all of that. Why? Because the task is too big. It's too big to do it on our own. We each have to have each other. We need that help. It's too big of a task to do it on our own and by ourselves. Another point, and I've got these verses except one of them on the screen. But we need to love, and we need to be loved. You know, and that's just part of why we need each other. We need someone to love, and we need others to love us. Hebrews 13:1 says, let brotherly love continue. I mean, that's simply the idea that it's of a necessity. You've got to let it continue. That means you're showing brotherly love and you're receiving brotherly love. You know, I know in the past I've seen, you know, brethren and sisters that you couldn't show them love. You couldn't call them. You couldn't talk to them. You couldn't go visit them. They just rejected everything you ever tried to do for them, and then just make you feel bad for trying to help. You know, you gotta receive love, you know, and you gotta be willing to give love. You know, I've seen some that would never do anything for anybody. You got to show love. You got to do love. You know, and I really wonder when you say brothers and sisters if they can be classified as brothers and sisters, because they're not fulfilling their commitments we've already talked about. They're not being there for others to do their commitments. And they're not fulfilling their commitments by showing love and dedication and being there for others. John 15:12, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Christ himself saying, this is a commandment to show that love. 1 Peter 3:8, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful and be courteous. Matthew 22:37, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. You know, there's love that we show to one another, and then there's love we show even as a whole. But if we don't have each other, we can't really show the love to the Lord that we need to show him. Let's look at 1 John 4. 1 John 4, 7 through 12. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. So why do we need each other? to love one another and to be loved of one another. It's one of those things. We cannot do it on our own. Each one of us needs a time when we will be criticized, when we'll need to be set straight for something. But you got to have the balance. And the balance of that is everyone needs the time to be loved. Got to have each other for both. Last point of why we need to be, need each other. And this actually can come out of this little passage as well. The ideal of being perfect. But Colossians 3, 1 through 15. Colossians 3, 1 through 15. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all things, all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Why do we need each other? So that we can all be unified toward perfection. You know, it's like I've mentioned all along. If we're going to make it to heaven, to be raised with him when he comes back, verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him. To get to that point, we have to have each other. We needed someone to teach us so that we saw our faults, just like he talks about all these things and how they used to walk in them, but they come out of them. We need each other to encourage us to never go back into those, to continue to walk on the right path. We need to grow. We need to gain knowledge so that we can teach and bring others out and to encourage our other faithful, brethren to be faithful. And we need it to the ideal to be holy, to be beloved, to take, and we need to show tender mercies and kindness and humility and meekness and long-suffering. And we need to be willing to forgive. And we need to take care of one another. Why? Because we need all of those things for us. And everybody in here needs that from me and you. And that's how we become this ideal of coming toward perfection. It's only when we're unified and getting each other to heaven will we all find that level of perfection where he'll say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. In conclusion, I know it's been a simple lesson, but we need each other. That's all there is to it. We need each other. You're not going to make it to heaven on your own. You're not. It's too big of a challenge. It's too big of a challenge for you to overcome every obstacle. It's too big of a challenge for you not to get encouragement and strength, to have love showed to you, have forgiveness showed to you. We need each other. The Lord knew we would need each other. That's why he says, the Lord made the body. He made every individual part to fulfill the work of the body. The Lord knew we needed each other. It's not good for man to be alone. It wasn't good for man to be alone as husband and wife. It's not good for man to be alone in the work that he's given us to do. We need to realize that about ourselves. we need to realize that I need you. I mean, that's what you need to be thinking. I need y'all. Every one of us has to realize that in ourselves. That it's not just, okay, I come and okay, I'll put up with people. No, I come because I need them. And I need to be here because they need me. And that's the next point there. We need to be there for others. I need to be here for you and you need to be here for me. And that's not just for worship service. That's for all kinds of aspects of life. You know, and it's not a one-way street. You know, you can't always be the one saying, I want, I need, I this. You also got to be the one saying, what do you need? How can I help you? Or when someone comes to you and they're asking something, take the time to listen and learn and help and encourage and strengthen. We need each other. Be there for one another and receive the help of others because they need to fulfill their commitments to you and you need to fulfill your commitments to them. This morning, to those that may have not have obeyed the gospel, if you know what it takes to do so this morning. If you want more understanding on that, more detail, I'm here for you. Others are here for you. Just like I said, we need to be here for one another. We'll sit down, we'll talk, we'll teach, we'll look at the Word of God, and we'll determine exactly what He requires for you. Maybe you've obeyed the gospel, though, but you've turned back into the world. Maybe you need us this morning for that. Maybe you need to take and ask forgiveness. Maybe you need us to pray for you. That's why we're here for one another. Take and act this morning if you have a need. We're happy to help if you'll come forward as we stand.